The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
I'm going to talk with Ray Comfort today about his new book, So Many Lions, So Few Daniels.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, we got a lot of good ground to cover today. Bottom of the hour, I'm going to be joined by Ray Comfort. Always good to talk with Ray. Always something important to say to the body. So we'll have a great chat with Ray Comfort. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. And friends, the difficult, challenging issues, the ones where you scratch your head, the ones where your blood pressure rises, the ones that are just upsetting, let me be your voice. We'll do our best to articulate God's heart, to articulate what the Word is saying, to do it with grace, and to say it for you. So thank you for being part of our team. Thank you for being part of this radio revolution. And thanks for praying as we take major steps to begin expanding on major stations and cities across the nation, beginning this coming Monday when we launch in our new station in Phoenix. So glad to be doing that and just keeping you posted as part of the family, part of the team, so you can be aware. Have you ever noticed that the people that often talk the most about being tolerant are incredibly intolerant of different views? Oh, we're very tolerant people, meaning that we tolerate views within our sphere and views on the outside we are utterly intolerant of. Have you noticed that? We are very inclusive, meaning that we have our own tent of ideas that we embrace. Everything outside of that we exclude militantly. Or no, we are into diversity, meaning our way or the highway. I've watched this over the years. I'm going to play some clips for you that are just quite amazing from Gary May, University of California at UC Davis in California. A very, very interesting thing took place with recent events with Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA going there. I want you to hear this, but it ends with talking about inclusion. Years back, when we moved into the Charlotte area, so we moved here 2003, a whole bunch of us came up from Pensacola, Florida, and based our school and our ministry and church here. And I guess it was the next year, I was overseas ministering. Some local believers took some of our guys into Marshall Park in the city of Charlotte, where there was a gay pride event going on. And they were just shocked to see some of the things happening quite openly, quite publicly, around little children. It was quite shocking. And that's when God began to burden me more about what was happening in terms of gay activism and gave me a burden to push back against the agenda while reaching out to the people, to make a distinction between an agenda that's destructive and people for whom Jesus died. And we began to get involved as there were different sponsors of Charlotte Pride. We would say, hey, do you know what's happening there? Do you know it's not just a nice gathering of this and that and people celebrating diversity? You got some real ugly things going on, vulgar things in front of children. Do you want to sponsor this? Do you want to be part of this? I remember when Starbucks was one of their leading sponsors, and some local activist Christian believers just took pictures of a lot of the worst stuff going on there. And we sent it to Starbucks, and they said, no, we support the diversity of the community, et cetera. So at a certain point, Caribou Coffee, so it's a chain not nearly as big as Starbucks, Caribou Coffee said they were going to sponsor the event. So I wrote them a letter and just said, hey, we live here in the city. This is kind of a divisive event. There's a lot of opinion on different sides. And we just encourage you to stay out of the culture wars. We're not asking you to put Bibles in your stores. We're not asking you to have Christian music playing, but it's just better if you're neutral on the culture wars. And they wrote back and they said, actually, we are doing what we're doing. We're very excited to be part of this, and we stand with the entire community. We want it to be known. We stand with the entire community. We stand with the diversity of the community, et cetera. I've got the correspondence still. So I talked to some friends. I said, hey, how about if we put on an event? Are you in? Let's just do it theoretically and see what response we get. Would you be a sponsor, local business? Sure. Hey, Christian, would you be part of this? Sure. And it was going to be a kind of a not ashamed of Jesus type celebration. and we were going, and this was just being posted theoretically. Hey, would you be in for this? Great. Okay, let's see how Caribou Coffee responds. We'll celebrate life beginning in the womb. We'll celebrate abstinence before marriage. We'll celebrate marriage as the union of a man and a woman. And we'll do it as believers. So we wrote back to Caribou Coffee. And to summarize their response, no, we will not work with you because we are inclusive. I'm not making it up. Inclusive now had a complete double meaning. We will exclude you because we are inclusive. You know what just happened in Vermont? So there's a Christian school and basketball team forfeited a game. They said, okay, we'll take a loss rather than play against this other team that has a biological male who's playing very effectively on the girls' team that we don't think it's good, we don't think it's safe, and therefore we're not going to do it. In other words, you've got someone that's stronger and that there could be an injury, there could be other things happen, and it's not fair competitively. Well, that basically, from what I read, I haven't read the whole story, but they've been canceled. Okay, you're out. You're out. You don't get to play any other game. Oh, how tolerant, how understanding, how diverse. They forfeited a game, so they're penalized for it. Now they have to forfeit the whole season. By the way, there often is a price for obedience. And long term, they'll be blessed for what they did, even if it's a disappointment for these kids. Long term, it's a good and right and righteous thing that they will be blessed for doing, even if short term it can be a little stinging for the kids in the basketball program. But let's listen to the chancellor, an accomplished scholar from what I understand, of UC Davis. You've got to be someone with a lot of achievement to get to that place. He is talking about Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA coming to his campus. And let's listen to what he had said. I'm going to divide the clip into a few parts. Let's listen to the chancellor.
Many of you have reached out to me and others regarding tonight's event organized by the registered student organization Turning Point USA, or TPUSA, at UC Davis. Thank you for sharing your distress at a student group hosting a speaker who is a well-documented proponent of misinformation and hate, and who has advocated for violence against transgender individuals. As a campus that is committed to our principles of community, UC Davis stands with our transgender and non-binary Aggies in opposition to this hateful and divisive messaging. UC Davis did not invite this individual and is not sponsoring this event. Our chief campus counsel provided me with information and guidance for campuses in this situation. First, the University of California policy permits registered student organizations such as TPUSA to reserve university facilities and invite speakers of their choice. Under UC policy, campuses may not prohibit student organizations such as TPUSA from inviting these speakers, even if the speaker's intended speech is loathsome and hurtful to me and to others in our campus community. With respect to concerns related to violence, UC policy permits denial of requests if the speaker will present a clear and present danger to the campus. And council notes the policy explicitly states the campus carries a heavy burden in justifying such a denial under these circumstances. Our council also notes that there is a similarly heavy burden for criminal prosecution for incitement of violence.
In other words, we don't want him on the campus. I don't want him on the campus. If we had any legal right to not have him on the campus, we wouldn't have him on. But because we didn't invite him in the student group, inviting him is allowed to do it. And we're concerned that there's going to be inciting to violence. But unless it really crosses a certain line, we can't stop it. We'll let this loathsome individual come on. Now, some of you may like Charlie Kirk. Some of you may not like Charlie Kirk. Some may not know him at all. But the description of the man and the misinformation and calling for violence against transgender, etc. Okay, we'll let Charlie speak to that in a moment. But here's the thing. Every single day on that campus, I can guarantee you there is anti-Christian speech. Or certainly every week. And there are professors bashing our values. And there are students bashing our values. And there is hostility to our point of view over and over and over. But that's fine. Dare to bring in someone that's going to bring a different perspective. What happened to the diversity, inclusion, community, and open free speech? Quite amazing, isn't it? All right, let's listen to one more clip before the break here from the chancellor.
In short, while I abhor the inflammatory speech of this speaker, UC policy permits the student organization to invite the speaker. Please be assured that we are monitoring the event closely to determine if a threat or incitement develops that meets that threshold, or violates other campus policies. I understand and share your objections to a speaker whose rhetoric is offensive and clearly intended to shock and provoke. As Aggies, we are motivated by a desire to do what is best for our diverse community and for society as a whole. But as a public university dedicated to the pursuit of deeper understanding through the free, open, and civil exchange of ideas, we must also support an environment conducive to the discussion of widely varying ideas and points of view. We are committed to the First Amendment, and we are required to uphold it. But just as we support students' rights to invite speakers to campus, we also affirm the right of students to freedom of expression and to speaking out against hate and discrimination. For us to refuse these rights to any of you would be in violation of the U.S. Constitution, the explicit policy of the UC system, and our own campus policy.
In other words, once again, we really don't like this guy. He's a loathsome individual. We don't like the group that invited him, but the Constitution requires us to have him in. And do I have I think I've got time for the last clip. Let's play this last clip and notice some of the words that it ends with.
We can't control how these groups operate, but we can work together to neutralize and negate their influence. We can deny them the responses and reactions they require to fuel their campaign of antagonism. Provocateurs like this thrive on conflict, so having to speak to an empty room would make a powerful statement. Seeing a community united against hate, celebrating our beautifully diverse community, and standing together in support of our trans and non-binary Aggies shows those who would divide us how hopeless and futile their efforts are, and always will be. Let me reiterate that you are not alone in the concerns you have shared. And you have every right to express your thoughts and engage in nonviolent discussions and dialogue that challenge and condemn discrimination, hateful speech, and hateful actions. At UC Davis, we are resilient, vigilant, and we have the power to hold those who wish to engage us to the highest standards of civil and respectful discourse. We have the ability to critically assess environments we are creating for ourselves and others, and to work together to foster a culture of learning that is as inclusive and respectful as it is passionate and inspired. And we have the courage and compassion to stand together and to take care of each other. As Aggies, this is who we are.
So we've got this diverse community, but your point of view, sir, is not welcome. And we are inclusive, which means we will exclude you. And notice the call to negate and neutralize the event. Hear the chancellor saying, nobody show up. I mean, this is unimaginable. With all respect to this gentleman and what he's accomplished, this is unimaginable for university chancellor. So let's see what happens on the other side of the break for his call to negate and neutralize the event. We'll be right back. Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. You know, it seems the whole country now is talking about revival. Could it be that a fresh wave of revival is here? Friends, I've said for decades, without a fresh wave of revival in the church and awakening in society, it's over for America as we know it. And that's why I wrote the book, Revival or We Die. A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope. Friends, when you read this book, it won't just give you a vision of what revival can do in society, in the church, but in your own heart, in your own life. It'll light a fresh fire in you. It'll ignite something in you, a hunger, a desire, a vision of what God can do through a yielded life. Revival or we die. I even have a whole chapter where I share intimate, open prayers I've prayed to God, even in recent years, to ignite afresh a first love in me. I believe as you read it, something will be ignited within you as well. But you know, whenever revival comes, there's controversy. And that's why I wrote the Revival Answer book. I wrote it in the midst of the Brownsboro Revival, answering the many honest questions. Is there too much emotion? What about shaking? What about falling? What about unusual things that happen in revival? And can we really expect revival in the last days, or will things only get worse? When you order this hardcover edition of Revival or We Die, I want to give you this book, the Revival Answer book, 300-page book. I want to give it to you absolutely free. So here's the number to call. 1-800-538-5275. That's 1-800-538-5275. Or go to AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Shop. And when you do, you'll see this special offer. The hardcover edition of Revival or We Die. A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope. Along with the Revival Answer Book is our free gift to you when you order. One more time, the number to call, 1-800-538-5275. The time for revival is now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No hype when we say revival or we die. A great awakening is our only hope. This is the state of our universities, friends. Unless there is sweeping change in the church and then ultimately sweeping through into the culture that changes the schools and the universities, America's only heading in one way, and it is the very wrong, destructive way. So again, get a copy of Revival or We Die. It'll stir your heart. It'll build your faith. And then with that, a free copy of Revival Answer Book, which will be super informative and helpful, especially in the days ahead. 800-538-5275 is the number to call. Get a few sets for yourself, for friends, for your pastors. 800-538-5275. Okay, so I just find it shocking that a university chancellor would call for a boycott of an event called for by students, fully operating within their rights. Someone who's a national radio host and leads a national organization, it may be too Republican for you or too conservative for you or whatever, but someone who's a committed Christian leading a major organization touching large numbers of young people across America and mobilizing them to get active in society. And by and large, in terms of the convictions that are fueling things, they would be Christian-based convictions. They may work out politically a little different settings. But it's mind-boggling to me that a university chancellor, in the name of inclusion, in the name of diversity, would call for the boycott of an event, saying we want to stand with our diverse student body. But that means if you're gay, if you're non-binary, if you're trans, we want to stand with you. If you're Christian or conservative, political or Republican or wherever it falls, I'm not saying that Christian, conservative, political and Republican are all the same thing. I'm saying if it falls in those categories, no, we're not standing with you. I mean, it's mind-boggling. So those watching, you'll get to see some of the footage. So after the university chancellor's call for students to negate and neutralize the event, I just want you to know what happens, whether he provoked it, whether it was going to happen either way. I just want you to see what happens, and I'm going to let everyone hear some of what happens. You've got police there, riot police there, and these are some of the people trying to break into the building and then protesting outside. Just take in some of the sounds. This is in the name of standing against hate and standing against violence. And the event, the Christian event, or the TPUSA event, Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk, of course, was a totally peaceful, nonviolent, non-hate-filled event, all right, obviously. So it's quite the opposite. The hate is coming from the other side. Just listen to some of the sounds. Yeah, these are some of the scenes. You heard the volume of it. Yeah, it's loud on the radio. Can you imagine being there? Whoa. Negate and neutralize the event. Well, here's a good way to do it. Storm the building, try to smash windows and doors, and then outside, riot police having to confront people. We didn't play that because this is a little random to play on the radio. Charlie Kirk, of course, does not just sit back, take things quietly. I spent some time with him, met him for the first time late last year, and just got to pray with him. And again, you may love Charlie and his work. You may differ with some of his work. But the description of him is an ugly and unfair description. So he put out a little video responding to University Chancellor. Let's just listen to Charlie's response.
Many of you have reached out to me and others regarding tonight's event.
Many Antifa
organized
members.
By the registered student organization, Turning
That's
Point
right, we
USA,
are registered.
TPUSA at UC Davis. Thank you for sharing your distress at a student group hosting a speaker who is a well-documented proponent of misinformation and hate. and who has advocated for violence against transgender
individuals. I've never done that. That is a lie. We might sue you for that.
Campuses may not prohibit student organizations such as TPUSA.
Yeah, because of that pesky little First Amendment.
Even if the speaker's intended speech is loathsome and hurtful to me and to others in our campus community. With respect to concerns related to violence, UC policy permits denial of requests if the speaker will present a clear and present danger to the campus.
If I present a clear and present danger.
Our council also knows that there is a similarly heavy burden for criminal prosecution for incitement of violence. Please be assured that we are monitoring the event closely.
Monitoring. They're going to try to arrest me if I say something wrong. That's what he's saying.
That threshold.
He's got to be really careful. As a president or chancellor or whatever of a university, he's supposed to remain neutral. This doesn't sound neutral. This could be interpreted in a courtroom as trying to use power, trying to use influence to restrict somebody's First Amendment rights. They're the violent ones. Over 100 police officers are showing up. I wonder why. Because of me? No. Because Antifa said they're going to do everything they can to disrupt the event. We're going to be there. We're going to be peaceful, like Turning Point USA always is.
So, friends, that's the reality of what we're dealing with. There is violence. There is anger. There is hatred. But it's not coming from our side. When I say our side, I mean conservative Christian side. Oh, they're haters everywhere. Right, but you could listen to this broadcast every single day. We've been on the air now almost 15 years. You could listen to me every single day for 15 years. You can read every article that I've written, 2,500 plus articles in the last 10 years or so. You could read every book. You could listen to every sermon, and you will never hear one syllable of hate. Why? Because it's not in my heart. It doesn't come from my lips because it's not in my heart. And when I've done events on campuses, I'm not on campuses that frequently. I'd be on campuses much, much more if we got invitations, but many are even afraid to invite us. But I've been on campuses, and the only way the event will be held, the only way that the campus will allow it is if there is police protection, armed police present. I said, for all, they could be disruptive. And I've had them tell me, we're not worried about your side. They've just told me that plainly, we're not worried about your side. I've gone to the event sometimes early just to meet people, hang out. It's like, we don't need the police here because I'm going to set a tone of peace. And you get some protesters angry. A lot of them are angry because of misinformation. So let's set the record straight. Let's overcome evil with good. Oh, we're not going to back down. We're not going to apologize. And by God's grace, you've got my pledge. I'm not going anywhere. We're standing here, hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. That's who we are. That's what we seek to replicate, duplicate. But friends, just know the hostility is out there, and a lot of it is based on misinformation. A lot of it is just an appeal to human carnality and rage, get it out. And you've got some destructive elements. I can't wait to see when some of these Antifa leaders get wonderfully born again and use the zeal that they had and the passion that they had, instead of trying to disrupt peaceful meetings and attack police precincts and things like that. Instead, they're preaching Jesus on the streets fearlessly. Lord, may it be that some of the very people that showed up to protest, and we even saw or heard on these videos, Lord, may it be that some of them lead the way in preaching Jesus and making the gospel known and being witnesses for you, Lord. May it be so. Hey, if God could save some of us, rebels, people with very, very wrong spirits, sinners of every kind, if God could save us, he could save anyone. If God could use us, he could use anyone. So yes, we're repulsed by the bigotry we see here. I'm quite shocked again for university chancellor to take this public position. It's very grievous. It's very anti-American. It's very anti-university. And it's hopefully it will be addressed. Hopefully it'll be addressed with clarity. Hopefully it'll be addressed with in a way that is holistic and positive. I don't mean to punish the man, but to help him recognize what his role as university chancellor must be. And he may say, hey, look, we've got these kids that are, you know, they're outcast and they're put out, families rejected, trans and different ones, and we're a place for them. We'll just be a place for everybody. Be a place for everybody. Be a place for the Christians with Christian values and the Muslims with Muslim values and the atheists with atheist values. Be a place where everybody's welcome and the diversity is welcome, and you can have your discussion as a public university after all. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with, Nopalea. Made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
So call now 800-811-9628 or go to Trivita.com. Use the promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your first order. And Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Or call 800-811-9628. Let's hear what customers are saying.
A couple of months ago, I discovered Nopalea, and I started taking it every day like they suggested, and I started to have more movement and not feel the same stiffness. It keeps me going. I don't have to take days off anymore. I don't have to wear the brace around my back. I love Nopalea because I can go out and run with a girl that's half my age and still stay stride for stride with her, and my joints and my knees aren't bothering. It's fantastic.
Call now, 800-811-9628. Or go to Trivita.com. Use the promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your first order. Or call 800-811-9628. That's 800-811-9628.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Again, thanks to our sponsor, Trivita. 100% of your first order goes to support our radio outreach, and then a substantial portion, more than a tie thereafter. So 800-811-9628. All right. I don't need any kind of lengthy introduction for Ray Comfort. You know him as an evangelist, an apologist, TV host, author. You've seen him on the streets preaching the gospel many, many a time. He's got a new book, So Many Lions, So Few Daniels, Living Without Compromise in a World in Need of Truth. Hey, Ray, welcome back to the Line of Fire.
Oh, it's great to be on, Mike.
So let me ask you a question, Ray. You've been on the front lines for decades. Have things in America changed substantially in terms of freedoms, in terms of Christians needing more boldness to stand? Is it pretty much the same as always, or have things changed in your view?
Things have changed. Things have got darker, and I've got an echo when I speak. If your tech guys would like to fix that, it'd be great. My brain's bad enough without having me talk to myself. Yeah, things have got darker, but as things get darker, the light shines greater. We're living in a day and age where the scripture's still true, where the laborers are few, but the harvest is ripe. So people are ready for the gospel. It's just that we haven't been prepared to do what Jesus did and open up the moral law and show people their condition before God. So I'm finding that there's a lot of people out there that are very open to the things of God because of the fact that we're going through such tough times as a nation.
Right. And by the way, I've done interviews as well and sometimes had that echo, and it is very challenging to hear yourself the moment you're saying the words, but hopefully our team will figure out what happens. I mean, we do a good amount of interviews, and that's not a common occurrence, so we will get to the root of it, but otherwise nobody can hear it that's talking. So one of those things you have to grin and bear it until we fix it. So Ray, you've written for years, and you're famous for talking through people with the Ten Commandments, asking simple questions, and next thing their own words have condemned them and they realize they're in need of a savior. But what are you after in this book that's a little bit different in terms of not just going through this, how we use the moral law to convict people? What's another motivation in writing this book?
Well, my motivation for writing it was I was inspired by atheists. It's the only book I've ever written that's been inspired by atheists, and that's because about a year ago I saw a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt it had too many Christians and not enough lions. And I thought, boy, that's about as culturally sensitive as too many Jews and not enough Nazi ovens, too many blacks and not enough lynching ropes. So that made me very, very mad. I was angry, and I wrote that book out of a righteous indignation because I want to see Christians raised up like Daniel, fearless in the face of lions because they've got such a truth to stand for. You know, the key to this nation, Mike, the key to this nation's healing is the gospel. We tend to forget that. We tend to get caught up in so many social issues and forget what the book of Acts tells us, and that is the disciples, wherever they went, proclaimed the gospel. And so what I want this book to do is to equip Christians so that they can be bold. And boldness comes with knowledge. You think of a waitress as she walks into a restaurant, she sees three businessmen. They've got little important-looking cases. They're three-piece suits. They're sitting and wheeling and dealing millions of dollars. She doesn't hold back. She just walks right up in the middle of the conversation. She says, "Can I take your order?" She's bold. Why? Because she knows she has what they want, food. And the world doesn't realize that, but we have what they want. The scriptures tell us that every single human being is haunted by the fear of death all their lifetime. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. There's a cry within every human being of, "Oh, I don't want to die." Well, I address that when I witness to people, and that's what opens up the heart, their heart, because God's written eternity upon their heart. There's something in them that cries out for what we've got in Christ. So this is what I say, Mike. I say, "Have you ever read the Bible?" I say, "Nah." As I'm talking to university students and college students, you know, the Old Testament, God promised to destroy death, and the New Testament tells us how he did it. Immediately, their eyes widen, even if they're an atheist. That's of interest to any human being that's haunted by the fear of death all their lifetime. That God promised to destroy death, and the New Testament tells us how he did it. So we have what this world wants, and that's why we must be bold. In fact, that's what Jesus did in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. He said, "If you knew who it is that's asking you, speaking to you, you'd ask him, and he would give you living water," that inherent will to live that's in every human being. And that's what this book tells people how to do.
And Ray, Nancy and I, my wife and I, celebrated 47 years of marriage yesterday. But when we met, we were both 19 years old. She was a hardcore atheist, and she looked down on religious people. It's a miracle she ever walked into a church building and we got to talk and she heard the gospel. But we've talked a lot about atheism and maybe a mindset an atheist has that I don't have. And she tried to give me insight into how people would look at us, et cetera, and their views of God. But she said, you know, this fear of death thing was always a very real thing because all you have is this life. If you are convinced that there's nothing afterwards and we're just material beings, that's it. You start to get older, you just fears of things and it's over. And as much as someone would say, "Hey, I'm at peace with it," and I've been around non-believers that died and they said, "Hey, I'm at peace," and okay, God knows what's in their hearts. But the reality is, if this is it, and it's gone, it's over. And then, okay, do you really know for sure what's on the other side? And that big question, that is something very, very fundamental that reaches people. Now, Ray, each chapter, you share a story, an anecdote about talking with someone. You've spoken to so many people, but what are some of the things, some of the stories you tell in the book that really stand out where either the fear of God comes on someone or a change comes? Because you have no desire to just lead someone in saying empty words. That doesn't save anyone. Just repeating a formula doesn't save anyone. But you have stories in the book where people really encounter the truth of God and are changed?
Yes. You know, atheism, which we're talking about, which the book deals with in part, is a modern phenomena. The Bible doesn't hardly even address it. I think there's probably 11 words and they're repeated. "The fool is dead in his heart, there's no God." Scripture doesn't even bother to really address it because atheism is, how can I say it nicely, so stupid. It's insane. It's a form of insanity. Let me tell you why. When I meet atheists, very lovingly and kindly and gently ask them one question when they say I'm an atheist. I ask this question: "Do you really believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything? That's flowers, birds, trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, the fruits, male and female, and all the species. All these things, not began with nothing, but they were created by nothing. That was the designer. And that makes no sense. And that's why the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And so we address atheism, and these people usually change their minds immediately and say, well, I'm not an atheist. I just don't know if God exists. And so the book addresses that subject, teaching you how to speak to atheists. And there's one incident that I had, I think it's in the book, but there are many after the chapters where I share the gospel with people. But there's one, a young guy named Mario, who was very adamant that there was he had everything under control, wasn't even sure if God existed. And as I began witnessing to him, I noticed a tear roll from his eye down his cheek, and I thought, oh no, this is scaring me. If God's doing a work in his heart, I really don't want to mess it up. Very moving. I think it's got 3.5 million views on our YouTube channel, but it'll bring you in tears because it's such a joyous thing to see one sinner come to repentance, genuine faith in Christ.
So what can we learn from Daniel? What did Daniel have that many of us don't have? Because he literally gets thrown in the lion's den, and he fully knows that simply by praying and honoring God and refusing the edict that he's not allowed to pray to God, he knows he could well die. He doesn't know the outcome of the story yet, that he's thrown in the lion's den and comes out unscathed. What can we learn from Daniel?
Well, Daniel is listed in the Hall of Faith. Mike, when height was given out, I was behind the door. When talent to sing or play musical instruments were given out, I was behind the door. I don't have any talent. If I started singing, you'd request that I sing on a hill far away. I can't run, I can't jump, I can't dance, I can't sing. But one thing I can do, and every human being can do this, is that we can have faith in God. And you get some atheists say, I don't have faith in anything. Oh, come on, you have faith in your brakes when you pull up at a stop sign. You have faith in a plane when the mechanics put it together correctly. You have faith in the pilot when he flies you across the country, even in a dentist that drills your teeth or a surgeon that cuts into your body. We trust people with our very lives. We have such blind faith when it comes. If you say to your wife, I don't have faith in you, you're going to be sleeping on the couch, or you may even destroy your marriage. If you say to your boss, I have no faith in you, you're going to lose your job. We have faith in so many things around us, and the Bible says, exercise that faith in God. Faith in God isn't a belief he exists. Faith in God, when the Bible speaks of that, is a trust in his integrity. And that's what Daniel had. He feared God, and because he feared God, he didn't fear man. And when they threatened to take his life, if he prayed to God, he flung his windows open and says, I'm doing this. And that's what the Christian needs to be like. We need to fight against abortion. We need to fight against every sexual perversion that's so pervasive in today's society, but we should fight it with the gospel in one hand, because the gospel changes the human heart. Mike, when I became a Christian, I became pro-life in seconds. When I became a Christian, I became one man, one woman in marriage. Everything that God loved, I loved in a second, because God took his law and wrote it upon my heart and caused me to walk in his statutes. And now I don't live by my own will, I live by God's will. And that's what we must realize, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, and when one person has changed, the nation begins to change. And if every Christian stood up and proclaimed the gospel fearlessly, as Daniel stood up, we would see this nation turned around, not only healed, but sinners saved from God's wrath, which is the primary objective of every Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. So politics has its place, but in terms of changing a nation, it's way down the list from the gospel and from prayer and our witness and us living as believers. You know, I saw an old video. It was T.L. Osborne, Evangelist T.L. Osborne, was going over to Ukraine, and the government was not happy with the Christian activity there and evangelists coming in. And he said, you know, you should welcome us. He said, because government can't change a bad heart into a good heart, but the gospel can. And you should want our presence there. And that's how the transformation is going to come. The church has to wake up to be in the church, so we have to live as disciples. And then as we go make disciples, that's the only possible way the change will come. Otherwise, we might get some laws passed, we might have some success on some levels, but there's just going to be a pushback against it unless hearts are changed. All right, I got a few more minutes with Ray Comfort. Stay right here. Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. You know, it seems the whole country now is talking about revival. Could it be that a fresh wave of revival is here? Friends, I've said for decades, without a fresh wave of revival in the church and awakening in society, it's over for America as we know it. And that's why I wrote the book, Revival or We Die. A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope. Friends, when you read this book, it won't just give you a vision of what revival can do in society, in the church, but in your own heart, in your own life. It'll light a fresh fire in you. It'll ignite something in you, a hunger, a desire, a vision of what God can do through a yielded life. Revival or We Die. I even have a whole chapter where I share intimate, open prayers I've prayed to God, even in recent years, to ignite afresh a first love in me. I believe as you read it, something will be ignited within you as well. But you know, whenever revival comes, there's controversy. And that's why I wrote the Revival Answer book. I wrote it in the midst of the Brownsboro Revival, answering the many honest questions. Is there too much emotion? What about shaking? What about falling? What about unusual things that happen in revival? And can we really expect revival in the last days, or will things only get worse? When you order this hardcover edition of Revival or We Die, I want to give you this book, the Revival Answer book, 300-page book. I want to give it to you absolutely free. So here's the number to call, 1-800-538-5275. That's 1-800-538-5275. Or go to AskDrBrown.org. Just click on shop. And when you do, you'll see the special offer, the hardcover edition of Revival or We Die. A Great Awakening is Our Only Hope, along with the Revival Answer book is our free gift to you when you order. One more time, the number to call, 1-800-538-5275. The time for revival is now.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, thanks for joining us as I'm speaking with Ray Comfort, his new book, So Many Lions, So Few Daniels. Hey, Ray, a couple of the things I want to talk to you about. But first, just give me a glimpse of the chapter about Daniel and the, quote, weeping creator. What's that about?
Yeah, that's where a lot of Christians seem to have an image of God as a kind of a wimpy person, that he's crying because I'm committing adultery. And yet, he's not crying. He's angry. His wrath abides on sinners. And every time we sin, we store up wrath. And so often I ask a non-Christian, I'll say, you know, what do you think God thinks of you? And they'll say things like, I think he's disappointed because I'm looking at pornography. Mm. No, if you look at pornography, you're committing adultery in your heart. And every time you sin, you're committing adultery in God's eyes, and that stores up his wrath. So there's a lack of fear of God that's very pervasive, not only in some churches, but also in the minds of some non-Christians, because their image of God is that old guy with a beard and a pink nightie sitting in a cloud, and he's playing touch fingers with Adam. And yet God's nothing like that, and we need to move to Texas during a thunderstorm so the fear of God fills our heart. Or we need to read Scripture where God killed Ananias and Sapphira because they told one lie, or user touched the ark and God killed him. In Genesis 38, God killed a man because he didn't like what he did sexually, because the Scriptures say, through the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And while people's image of God is erroneous, they'll never depart from evil. They'll hold on to their sins because they don't fear God. And that's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord.
Got it. So, I mean, we know passages in Scripture where he's clearly grieved over actions, and where in all Israel's afflictions, he's afflicted. You have those amazing verses, and you have many, many verses right through the New Testament, right through the New Testament. You quoted one from Acts 5. Speaking of God's wrath and Paul's frequent warnings about the coming wrath. I mean, these are realities that, you know, you and I have talked about for decades. One ground of commonality we found many, many years ago, that this lack of preaching about coming judgment removes the idea of the need for a savior. And even, hey, why does even Jesus hang on the cross? You know, he seems like a nice guy. Why did he do that? I guess to set an example. No, it's more than that. It's our sin being paid for. So I am heading to London, God willing, early Friday morning, speaking at a couple of Messianic Jewish conferences Saturday, Sunday, and then debating a Muslim in London, a university in London, on Monday night on Is Muhammad Prophesied in the Bible? But I understand you've got something going on in London soon also.
Yeah, about 6 months ago, I began thinking about the coronation of King Charles. And this isn't an endorsement of King Charles, but Charles, during a church service, that's going to be witnessed by literally hundreds of millions around the world, is going to reach out his hand, lay out on a Bible, and swear before God to hold up the biblical truth of salvation by grace through faith. He's going to be given two swords. One's a blunt sword, the sword of mercy, speaking of the gospel. Another is a sharp sword, the sword of justice, speaking of the day of judgment. He's going to carry an orb, which is symbolic of the world, with a cross on the top of the orb, speaking of the reign of Jesus Christ over the whole world. He's going to be anointed with oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to get a gospel tract that has Charles on the front, looks like a 50-pound note, and give them out to the millions who are lined up in the streets to wave at the gold coach as it goes by. Let's see, this is memorabilia. So I made a short video saying what I've just said to you and sent it to my team. And just after that, I received an email from a gentleman. He said, what are you working on? So I sent him the video, and he sent the ministry $200,000. Showed someone else the video. They sent $50,000. Someone else, they sent $100,000. Mm. And so we got 7 million of these wonderful gospel tracts printed, and we're making them available free of charge to anyone in Europe, England, Australia, New Zealand, and we pay the shipping. So it doesn't cost a thing. America's going to go wild as we get closer. We don't as Christians. Jesus is our king. But the world has got an insatiable appetite for anything royal. So they'll grab this tract, this memorabilia, and it feeds into what they're seeing on the screen, that church service they're going to be a part of for 2 to 3 hours. The world's going to church, and this is going to make us ready. So people can get those free tracts with free shipping by going to livingwaters.com/London. Livingwaters.com/London. And we are super excited because already 2,000 Christians have agreed to go to London and give out these tracts to the millions that line the streets. And 1,800 of them are people from England. There's 500 from the U.S. are flying across. So we're super excited. We'd love it to be 10,000, and that's going to happen, I think.
Remarkable. It's amazing when you just see God in something, God breathing on something. Remarkable.
Well, that money coming in was sure better than a wet fleece.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's just, okay, Lord, you're in this. You're in this. You sent me an exclusive link to watch a new documentary that your ministry is putting out, a new pro-life documentary, which weaves together the talking to the man on the street, the woman on the street kind of thing, with powerful information. So tell our listeners about this, when it's coming out, how they can be looking for it.
Yeah, you can find it on livingwaters.com. We've got the trailer there. It's unique in that it not only speaks about the issue of pro-life, but it holds up the gospel, which our ministry always wants to do to have that balance. But the whole thing when it comes to pro-life is, what is it? What is it that's in the room? Hitler said the Jews in the Second World War Holocaust, they weren't human. And that's how he was able to dupe Germany into exterminating so many millions, because they're not human. And that's exactly what's happening with the pro-life issue. This is not human, and we know as Christians this is certainly human. From the moment of conception, there's a human being, it's a life being formed. And so it convinces the viewer that this is human, and it's a shocking video. Mark Spence, he did most of the interviews in it, and he does a brilliant job. He has such a passion for the whole issue. One of his kids, when he was in the womb, was told, his wife was told, this baby should be aborted because it's deformed. And they said, no way, we're not doing that. And they went ahead, and he's got a wonderful, healthy teenage boy. I think he might have just got married recently.
Mm. Yeah, so again, if folks want to track this, find out how to view it, when is it scheduled to come out, Ray?
I think in the next month.
Okay, and again, if they just go to they're on the mailing list for Living Waters, they'll find out.
Livingwaters.com. It has all the information there.
All right, last question. Ray, when did you get saved? What year?
1972 was a good year.
All right.
Jesus Revolution down under in New Zealand. We partook of that Jesus Revolution.
Yes, sir. So I got saved 1971, heroin shooting, LSD using, long-haired hippie, rebel. Same season, God was moving around the world. Do you see signs that something like that is happening again, that there is a ripe harvest, especially among very lost young people, just like we were very lost young people 50-plus years ago?
Absolutely. As I said before, everyone has a fear of death, and what this pandemic has done, that we've just all been through, or a plague, to call it what it was or is, has made people realize their mortality. Most people get themselves busy through their teenage years, get married, have kids, blah, blah, and they don't think about their mortality until they get to their midlife crisis. I don't know how anyone can have a midlife crisis, because you don't know when the middle of your life is. But these youngsters, these teenagers, these college students, university students are thinking about their mortality, and that's why I go up to them and say, do you think there's an afterlife? You know, are you afraid of death? And, you know, the Bible promises everlasting life, and it opens their hearts to it because they've been prepared by what they've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. The harvest is uniquely ripe. Ray, I appreciate your faithfulness and steadiness over the years. It's great to see God's wind in your sails. The book, the new book, back to that, So Many Lions, So Few Daniels. Ray, great talking to you. God bless, buddy.
Appreciate having me on. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Thanks. All right. So that London stuff, that is amazing to hear. Just amazing with that potential outreach. It is harvest time, friends. So the story's told about a salesman who was sent over to a rural village in another country. A shoe company said, we really feel we need to expand internationally, and this is the right place to expand. It was more of a very backwoods city that he went to, and he arrives there and looks around and immediately texts the company, get me out of here. Are you crazy? You got all these warehouses filled with shoes. The people, they don't even wear shoes. Are you crazy? So there's a top salesman. He comes back discouraged. The company sits down. The leaders evaluate the situation again, and they say, no, we believe it was the right thing. We believe it was the right move to make. And we'll send our number two guy over there. They send him back. He texts immediately, I need tens of thousands of boxes more shoes. The people, and nobody here has any shoes. So how are we looking at things? Yes, things are confused and ugly and wrong, and much that's anti-God and anti-Christian, and much in our society that's worse than it's ever been, but also much that is very, very ripe. Friends, please hear me. As we've warned about the social trends for many years, and some of you have listened to us faithfully and followed us for decades, you know we've been faithful guides here and not alarmists. So the same one that's been warning about what's coming in terms of the negative is also saying God is on the move and the harvest is ripe. So let us really believe, especially with the younger generation, with the pain they've been through, with the rejection they've been through, with the uncertainty they've been through, with the sense of, is the world going to collapse, and all that they've lived with, the isolation that social media presents with shootings in schools and just everything that can bring fear and anxiety. This is a momentous time to bring the gospel. Let's really be praying for our witness that Jesus would be exalted in us and through us, and that God would give us souls. That just through our common people, not professional evangelists, and let God use everyone he uses, but common people, not the pastor behind the pulpit, just everybody in their daily business, at work, in school, in the neighborhood, sharing the gospel, in the family. This is where souls will be won. The harvest is ripe.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.